Praise the Lord. Is it working? Is this mic working? Okay. Is this okay? All right. All right. The title of the message today is God of the Nations in the 21st Century. We'll go with the Matthew. Keep going. All right. Matthew 16 through 20. Then the disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Some of you know me a little bit, you know. A lot of you don't know me really well, so I thought I'd talk about my story a little bit, short testimony, before we go into the message. What's next? Okay. Keep going. Yeah, this is me. This was me. Korean parents tell me that when you're cute as a baby, you become uglier. What a truth that was. I was such a cute kid. This is when I was 100 days old. I had this picture. And this is the only picture I have of my childhood, because I don't know if it's like this in Indonesia, but Korean families, I was a second son of the Korean family. So I don't have any pictures except this one. My older brother, the firstborn, has like albums. This was the only picture I had. But the second son in a Korean family. Keep going. This was when I was 8 years old. Look at the clothes I'm wearing. I was really angry. I was wearing those clothes. And obviously for that reason, nobody was around me. Nobody, I had nobody to play with. I don't even know who took this picture. But this was an important time in my life, because I was 8 years old, and that's when my friend invited me to go to church for the first time. And I first walked into a sanctuary, maybe a little bigger than the size. It was maybe about 300 people or something like that. Or that's what it seemed like. To me, it was a million people at the time. As I walked in, I think they were singing what I believe was, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." And I just heard that song as I walked in. I didn't know what it was, but I really sensed something that's higher and bigger than me present in that place. I believe I started to believe in God, existence of God, and the presence of God from that time. So that was an important time in my life. I went to the United States. My whole family went to immigrate to the United States when I was 12 years old. And then, keep going. Who's doing this? Oh, okay. When I do this, keep going. All right. Oh, maybe for this one, I can do it, yeah. Oh, no, not yet. I was exercising. Okay. This was when I went to college. College is when I gave my life wholly devoted to God, because I was in a gospel band called Alpha Omega Gospel Band. And, this was the gospel band. I was the one on the right. We were terrible musicians. But since there was no one else doing this at the time, they thought we were good. So whether we were good or not didn't matter. They thought we were good. So that was fine. We were like the Beatles. Look at that. But that's when I committed myself to college, that committed myself to full-time ministry, committed myself to the Lord and committed myself to full-time ministry. So I decided to become a pastor from then on. Traveling to different places, I saw so much need in next generation and young people. I gave my life to full-time ministry. And after I went to seminary, after I graduated, I went to University of Illinois and came back to University of Illinois, started a church called CFC, Covenant Fellowship Church. Some of the alums here, Pastor Andrew was a member of our church years ago as well. Now we're 25 years old as a church. It's been 25 years. I've been a pastor there. This is one of like our worship service in a place. I have 5 children, all biologically born from one wife, with my wife and I, 5 children. Joshua, Daniel, Ruth, Hannah, Sarah. This is when they were a lot younger. Now they're older. One graduated from college, 2 are in college, 2 are in high school. But it's hard to gather all of them together. So they're there. Sometimes it's hard to memorize all the names. So I just call them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This was my wife. I met her in college. We got married in 1987. This was our honeymoon in Korea. Now it's been, we don't look like that anymore. Now it's been 27 years we got married. I remember in my 24th year anniversary, this is what I wrote to her in a Facebook. We're Korean-American, so we're half Korean and half American in that sense. And American culture, you talk like marriage is such a beautiful thing, and it's the wonderful, it's the heavenly thing, it's the best years of my life, even though it might not be, but you say, it's the best years of my life. That's American culture. Korean culture is, we're terrible, we're doing terrible. They're doing okay, but they say these things kind of negative. So we're like Korean-American, so I put realistic statements. Mixture of both contents, realistic statements like this. And what I wrote, 24th years of our anniversary, I said, it's hard to love a sinner as a sinner. I'm just being realistic. It's hard to love a sinner as a sinner, but through highs and lows and thick and thin, because his grace is greater than our flaws, after 24 years, she's still the love of my life. Thank you. Thank you. Very Korean-American. That's kind of my story in a shorter version. Reason why... Now you can do this. Reason why I talk about that is... Harvey Cox said this. He said, all human beings have an natural need to hear and tell stories to have a story to live by. And every one of us have some kind of story. If I tell you what happened to your life and if you give a good picture and make it a little funny, it'd be interesting to all of us. Everybody has some kind of story. Of course, I had some terrible parts in my life, some good parts in my life. Of course, when you present it to people, you just talk about good parts. But all of us have different kinds of things that have happened in our lives. Everybody has a story. To think about missions, to think about the gospel, you have to kind of think about it as a story, but not only God's story, not only someone else's story, but story that we are part of. It really is the grand story of history, history of redemption, history of the gospel, and every single one of you is part of it. I'm part of it. I'm part of what God is doing, incredibly sovereignly doing, and we're part of, every one of us, all of us, are part of it and will continuously be part of it, whether you like it or not, whether you're Christian or not. Okay, every one of us will be part of this story that we're talking about, what we call Great Commission, Gospel of Jesus Christ. So let's talk about this incredible story of God. God wants us to be part of it. So that's what this passage is about three things. If you look at the outline, you have the outline here. Three things in the outline. First of all, the complete authority of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is telling us to live by this story, live within this story. But first of all, he talks about the complete authority of Jesus Christ. That's the foundation. Then secondly, he talks about timeless strategy of Jesus Christ. He's telling us how to be involved or how he's going to do this. Timeless strategy of Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, the eternal intimacy with Jesus Christ as he assures us. First point is the foundation, complete authority of Jesus Christ. Timeless strategy is the methodology. And then thirdly, eternal intimacy with Jesus Christ is the assurance that he's giving us so that we can be part of it with certainty and assurance. So let's talk about this as we kick off this week, Missions Week this weekend. Throughout the week and the until the next weekend. First of all authority of God, verses 16 to 18, especially verse 16 through 18, talks about that. And it starts out by saying that the 11 disciples went to Galilee. Now, you have to understand, this is the context where Jesus is raised from the dead, resurrected Jesus. And according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, about 500-ish people saw the resurrected Jesus Christ. And you have to understand, when Paul wrote this, some of the people were alive, so people could actually verify whether they saw him or not, and he was able to boldly say about 500-ish people saw the resurrected body of Christ. And obviously, the 11 disciples saw the resurrected Jesus, and did they really saw resurrection of Jesus Christ? Well, you look at their lives, history record shows that they gave up their lives for this story, for what they have seen, what they will be seeing here. And they gave up their lives because of Jesus. And obviously, if they were lying or if they really didn't see, would you give up your life for a lie? Would you give up for something that you really don't believe in? But we realize here the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And they saw him, resurrected body of Christ. They saw him. And it says they worshipped him. This is important. They worshipped him. Can you believe? But it says some doubted. You see somebody who's resurrected, yet some doubted. But the point is they worshipped him. And because they were worshipping him, in the heart that was worshipping Jesus, this commandment comes. Commandment to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The seed of the commandment was planted in the soil of worship. The seed of the commandment was planted in the soil of worship. So it's important that today we look at the magnificence of God and we worship him. That our hearts must become good soil. So that as the commandment, as the word concerning missions will come into our hearts, it will bear fruit. The seed of the commandment was planted in the soil of worship. And then this incredible commission, great commission, that has been effective since the first century on until now, 2,000 years later, it will continue to go on. Because our Judean commander keeps marching on through his people, through the church of Jesus Christ. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. And in that soil of worship, as he gives his command, he gives the foundation of that. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's the foundation. So as we worship him, as we think about this truth, the foundation, because of his authority, as that authority comes into our hearts, it will generate in us worship. Then the commandment will come. Remember, John 4:24 says, we worship him in spirit and in truth. So you say, Pastor, man, I don't feel like worshiping, so how can I worship? How can my heart become a soil, good soil, that the seed of the commandment will go in and will bear fruit? How can I be worshiping? Well, Jesus said, you worship him in spirit and in truth. So you need to embrace the truth. Word of God goes into our minds and hearts. Who Jesus is, who God is, how great and awesome God he is. As we meditate on the truth in our minds, and then it will make some southward movement, our hearts will be worshiping him in spirit through the truth. So as we think about this verse, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Meditate on this. As we meditate on this, our hearts will generate. We will be worshiping him. So let's meditate on this. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So I meditated on it a little bit. All authority is a lot of authorities, right? It talks about he has authority over spiritual realm. He has authority over Satan, demons, angels. So you don't have to be afraid of demons. He has authority over the natural universe. All includes the natural universe, right? Natural objects, laws, forces, stars, galaxies, planets, meteorites. He has authority over all. He has authority over the weather system. These days, being on an airplane, you're worried about a lot of things. Weather system. Something's happening in this earth. weather system changing. But he has authority over the weather system, winds, rains, lightning, thunder, hurricanes, tornado, monsoons, typhoons, cyclones, tsunami. He has authority over tidal waves, fires. He also has authority over molecular atomic reality. I know some of you are science majors and you're worshiping him now. Atoms, electrons, protons, neutrons, undiscovered subatomic particles, quantum physics. I don't even know what that is. I'm just metaphysics. I know some of you smart guys. You know what? I don't know. I'm just putting it in there. Metaphysics, genetic structure, DNA, chromosomes. He has authority over all plants, animals, great and small, whales, redwoods, giant squids. Do you eat squids here? Koreans eat squids. I'm thinking, wow, tastes good. Giant oaks, all fish, all wild beasts, all invisible animals, plants, bacteria, viruses, parasites, germs. He has authority over all parts and functions of human body. He has authority over beat of your heart. Every breath of the diaphragm, every electronic jump over millions of synapses, some less than that. Every millions of synapses of our brains. He has authority over all nations and governments, congresses, legislatures, thank you. Presidents, kings, premiers, courts. He has authority over all armies, weapons, bombs, even terrorists. He has authority over all industries, business, finances, currencies. He has authority over all education, research, scientific discovery. He has authority over crimes and violence, criminals and potential criminals. He has authority over all families and neighbors, church, every soul, every moment of every life that has been and ever will be lived. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's our God. And as we meditate on him, we will worship him. That's our foundation, that Jesus is telling us to do something. So when we hear like, okay, go and conquer the world, does that sound like a burden? or doesn't sound like strengthening, wow, that may get you excited. Is it burdensome or is it strengthening to hear this command? Without this foundation of understanding of His authority, it will be burdensome. But the commandment in the scripture, as the one who is in control of everything gives to us and tells us to do, it should be strengthening to us. Amen? Think about Lazarus, the guy who died and was resurrected. Can you imagine resurrection? He was dead for 4 days. Jesus comes and says to Lazarus, Lazarus! And He commands Lazarus, come out! Can you imagine Lazarus lying down and go, Jesus, I'm dead. Your command is burdensome to me. I'm a dead person. I can't get up. But when the word of God goes into through his ears, started to get into his mind, his mind comes alive. It comes down to his heart, and heart starts to pump. And legs and arms start to be strengthened, and he comes out. Because Word of God, because it comes from the authority of the mighty God, Word of God is our strength, not our burden. So we worship Him. So as He's giving us the mission, it's not mission impossible, it is mission very possible. Question we should not ask is not, can it be done? It really should be, who will it be done through? He's going to do it through somebody, but through whom? Through the ones who are willing to be used by God. So I pray that this week you go, me, Lord. Me, Lord. Because He's going to do it through somebody. I pray that every single one of you will be part of it. It doesn't necessarily mean just go out to the unreached countries and unreached places. You do that. Some of you might do that. Some of you might pray for that. Some of you might participate in that financially. Supporting, but every one of us just relating with anybody around us in our workplaces, in our neighborhood, just befriending anybody who doesn't know Christ, just loving them, just saying even hello to them. You're participating in this story of God. Are you willing? Start to pray for them in the morning. Start to pray for one person who do not know Christ in the morning. And you're participating in this great story. Because the question is not, will it be done? But who will it be done through? So we have to think to ourselves, can He use me? Can I be used? Can He use me? Of course. You know, in the first century, under Roman Empire, and when this command is given, Rome was in, it had authority over the whole world, superpower nation. Rome and Israel was just a slave nation under Rome. And through the slaves of Israel, right, within a few hundred years, gospel would be preached to all over the world in Roman Empire. There will be no place without a layers of Christian soil in a couple hundred years. So I do not think the problem is the impossibility of the task, but the spirituality of His people. That's the problem. So let's trust in the complete authority of Jesus Christ. As it says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's our foundation. Let's go to the second point. Yeah. Is the timeless strategy of God. What's the methodology? Now, verse 19 and 20 talks about the methodology. You have to understand Matthew. You have to understand the whole context of Matthew. Matthew chapter 16 and 18 talks about the church of Jesus Christ. Matthew 16 talks about the universal church, which is all the believers in Jesus Christ. And Matthew 18 talks about the local church. So how God will do this through is through the church of Jesus Christ, universal church, all the believers, in the context of local church scattered and separated to different parts of the world, which HMCC, right? I always I'm terrible with memory. I can't even remember my kids' names. That's why I go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But HMCC is part of it, local church. God's going to use this as one of the churches that he's going to use. And then it says, within the local church, this is what you have to do. Verse 19 and 20. Now, many people look at these two verses grammatically and saying, in Greek, make disciples is a major verb. So your way to do is go, baptize, and teach, things like that grammatically. But I don't think that's how you're supposed to see this passage. I believe you have to look at this contextually. Again, thinking about the church of Jesus Christ in the local church. Verse 19 really is about evangelism. Verse 20 is really about discipling others. Look at verse 19. Therefore, because of the authority of Jesus Christ we just talked about, it says, go to whom? People who do not know Christ, people who are not disciples. Make disciples doesn't mean disciple them. It really means make them Christian, make them followers of Jesus. Of all nations, any ethnic group that has unbelievers. Baptizing them, that means make them become Christian and not only get them wet, right? Make them become Christian, be part of the local church. Baptizing them, no matter how much water you use, people argue about that, doesn't matter. But baptizing them, which symbolizes the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Which really means, if you think about it, is evangelism. Go to somebody who doesn't know, make them come to know Christ. Evangelism, verse 20, then it goes, and teaching them, then what happens if they become part of the local church, what do? We have to train them, we have to teach them, to obey. Wow, teach them to obey. I hate that as a pastor because just teaching them is hard. But we have to teach them to obey. I thought my job's done on Sunday, teach them. That means I have to look at them Monday. Are they obeying? I hate that. It extends my job. So teach them to obey. We need to teach people. Unless they live it, they're not taught. Unless they live it, they're not taught. We're not really teaching them yet. This is not teaching about information, but transformation, right? Transformation of lives. It's teaching them to obey. Not only obey, but obey everything. That's when you want to quit ministry. Jesus. Teach them to obey everything? Yes. Teach them to obey everything because it basically means make them become like Jesus. Right? Make them become like Jesus. To a point, just that Jesus came as a missionary and he did his missions, reaching out to the world. You know, to teach them, train them in such a way they're transformed and changed in their habits and lifestyles and character in such a way they are able to go to somebody who doesn't know Christ and reach them, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. And it says, surely I'm with you always to the very end of age. So if you think about those verse two concepts in verse 19 and 20, well, I call the lenses of Great Commission. So, wow, I can't see anything. So verse 19 is like this side of the lens. Verse 20 is like this side of the lens. We can't really see, well, what's ministry? What's mission? How are we supposed to live? And verse 19, verse 20 comes to, aha! This is how we ought to see what's going on in the world. You see what I mean? So verse 19, evangelism, verse 20. Now we can see what we're supposed to be doing in the world. Verse 19, baptize them, make them Christian. Verse 20, teach them. Verse 20, then verse 19 really is talking about unbelievers. Here we go. Ready here? Yeah, keep going. Unbelievers, verse 20 is about believers. Verse 19, baptize them. Verse 20, teach them. Verse 19 then is about evangelistic aspect of this Great Commission. And verse 20 is about discipling aspect of the commission, deepening them. Verse 19 is related to church planting in unreached places. And then verse 20 is about church revitalizing, church reviving. If you're a nerd, theological nerd, verse 19 then is about justification, make them Christian. And then verse 20 is about sanctification, helping them to grow. If you like kids, family language, then verse 19 is about birth. Yeah, you know. Korean babies cry. Yeah. How does Indonesian baby cry? Huh? Really? Okay. All the babies cry differently in different countries. Wow. So verse 19 is about birth. And verse 20 then is about growth. Right? Then verse 19 is about width. Sorry, it says width here if you can. Width, meaning one heart at a time, different nations, width, being wide. And then verse 20 is about depth, each person becoming deep in their discipleship in Jesus Christ. Okay? That's what Great Commission is, just strategy to the local churches and to reach the people who do not know Christ and deepening them so that they themselves, as they grow, can reach somebody around them one heart at a time. So if all the local churches are spreading all over the world, and if there's a place there's no local church, we need to go and plant the local church, have indigenous church in those places so that those churches in those places can get some people and help them to grow so that they are able to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Universal church and local church working to spread the gospel, expand God's kingdom. Then we can do some evaluation, personal, ecclesiastical, church, and missions evaluation. We need to do some evaluation. So personal evaluation, think about it. Some of you are good in verse 19, like evangelistic aspect. You have heart for unbelievers. Some of you are good in verse 20 aspect, like discipling people. You may not be really good in reaching out to new people, but once they come in, you can teach them, you can disciple them. Personally, we have different kinds of gifts associated with either verse 19 or verse 20. So some people who are this great in evangelism, they might not be good in discipling. Some people are good in discipling, they might not be good in evangelism. And then you can point your finger at one another and say, why aren't you good in this? Why aren't you good in that? But what the Bible says is we have different gifts and we can actually work together. Teamwork. God made us teamwork. It's not a 100-meter relay, it's 400-meter relay, 100-meter dash, but 400-meter relay together. We do this together in the body of Christ. We need one another. I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. So personal evaluation, how can I serve God? Okay, we can think about ourselves. We can also do church evaluation. Ecclesiastical means church evaluation. Church evaluation. Some churches are good in verse 19. Some churches really great in reaching out to people. They might not be good in discipling people, teaching them the word of God. Some churches might not be good in evangelism, but really good in discipling people. So usually in a city, it's like that. I don't know if it's like in Jakarta, but it's like this in Chicago. It's like this in New York, LA. Some churches are really good in reaching out to young people, really good in reaching out to unbelievers and new people that's in the culture. Then what happens? Once they come in, it's hard for them to grow because rarely a church is good in both. There are some churches who are a little more traditional, who are more deep into the word, but not really good in reaching out to the world. Then what happens? They criticize each other. Why are you so worldly? They go, why are you so old? Why can't you really be relevant to this culture? But in God's eyes, God's using both churches in the city. God is using this church to reach new people. What happens? They can't grow. What happens? If they want to grow, they move to this church. Then God is using this church to help them to do verse 20. Hopefully, one church can do everything. That's if possible. But in one sense, God can use different churches. But together. It's not about It's not just about HMCC. It's about CFC. It's about HMCC. It's about different churches in the city, but we are serving the Lord together to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can we hear amen to that?
Amen.
We got to learn to work together. Not contradictory to one another, but complementary with one another. Just like marriage. Two different people, they fight or do they harmonize? Don't be contradictory to one another. Complementary with one another. I do so many marriage counseling. I use this phrase. But churches are the same thing. We got to do this together. So personal evaluation, ecclesiastical evaluation, missional evaluation. Missions, I've heard so many missionaries think that mission means just going out to unreached places. That's mission. Well, that is mission. We need to emphasize that. We need to focus on that. But according to this passage, verse 20 is also part of missions. Going to reach country, reach places. What do we have to do? They have to, their teaching is lighter. There has to be leadership training. There has to be pastor training. So training these churches to be deep, especially training pastors so that they can teach the word of God. Then what happens? They get deeper, and then those churches can, those nations, those ethnic groups can reach out to unreached groups as well, surrounding them. So great methodology as well. I think this week you're going to reach out to, you're going to focus on verse 19, I believe, unreached places, and it's a great emphasis. But you being strengthened, you reaching out to your neighborhood, as well as you supporting, and some of you might even be going someday. That's all part of verse 19, verse 20, mission of God. God's kingdom is being expanded for His glory. I don't know if you know these guys. This is a leader of... Oh, this was a leader of... I get confused now. Oh, this guy was a leader of North Korea, one of the cruelest nations, closed nation in the world. Kim Jong... No, Il is the father. Huh? No, this is a Kim Jong... Well, who's the youngest one? Un. Who's the middle one? No, Il is the oldest one. Oh, Kim Il-sung, Kim Jong-il. That's right. I'm sorry. This is Kim Jong-il, the middle guy. Sorry. I'm supposed to know this. I pray for them, though. This is Kim Jong-il, who died a few years ago. Just as his father, Kim Il-sung, died. Okay? Now the leader is the grandson of Kim Il-sung, Kim Jong-un. And I believe someday he'll die. And people have been praying for North Korea. People have been praying for this kingdom. But Jesus Christ, our King, lives forever. And according to Daniel chapter 4, verse 3, His kingdom is an eternal kingdom. His dominion endures from generation to generation. And this is what we're living for. Amen? Let's go to the third point, which is the eternal intimacy with Jesus. So it talks about the foundation, His authority, talks about the methodology of verse 19 and 20, discipling evangelism, discipling, lenses of Great Commission. Thirdly, then, eternal intimacy with God. This little phrase, and surely I am with you always to the very end of age. The least thought of, talked about part of Great Commission. It says, surely I am God. I am is God. Surely I am with you always to the very end of age. There's that with us aspect and through us aspect, right? He's with us. He's with us. I am is with you. Probably Jesus is saying, even though as he's going up, he says, I am with you. I'll be beside you through the means of the Holy Spirit. I'll be with you. Now I'll be in you. In fact, as I'm in you through the means of the Holy Spirit, I'll go to them through you. Almost like that. He's with us. His authority is with us. His power is with us. He is with us by His Spirit. He's with us everywhere. He's with us spatially. And He's with us individually. He's with us specially. He's with us in His fullness. When He's with us, He's not just with His love. He's not just with us in His holiness. In all His attributes as God, He's with us fully. And He's with us permanently. I'll be with you to the very end of age. He's with us spatially. He's with us specially. He's with us fully. He's with us permanently. Therefore, we can go. There's one aspect, that's why a key to our work in our lives is our relationship with God, that we need to grow, we need to be strengthened. But He's with us. So individually, as is with us in our spirituality, right? Individually, we have different spirituality. You have little more Christ, little different aspect of Christ. He's infinite, right? Different aspect of the Spirit, different aspect of the Christ. That's why we gather together. We strengthen one another as we gather together. Amen? There's this incredible aspect of like Ephesians chapter 5, when he talks about worship, Ephesians chapter 5, it says, of course we sing to Jesus when we worship, but it says, little phrase, sing to one another psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It says that. Sing to one another psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And then, of course, it says sing to the Lord. But as we sing to the Lord, it says sing to one another. I know some of you don't want to hear another person. Can you, like, sing that way or something like that when we worship? But this is what happens, spiritually speaking. You are, as you receive God's word, you are blessed. So as you're blessed, when the word of God goes in, what happens? Worship comes out, right? So as the word of God goes in and worship comes out, different, you're receiving different blessing, different aspect of Christ in you. And as you're singing to one another, different aspect of Christ that you've been blessed with is being transferred to another person. So as we sing to one another, incredible blessings that we individually receive are being shared as we are together, worshiping together. This is what I just said is the essence of the body of Christ, essence of the church of Jesus Christ. So same thing happens when you sing. Same thing happens when you share. You talk about your problem. You talk about your testimony, and as you share, that's what happens in a small group. What do you call this? What do you call your group? Life groups. It's a life group. So as you share, as you pray together, you know what's happening? Whatever the blessings you're receiving, you're sharing, and you're receiving more blessings from one another, the blessings that they have received, and you're sharing the blessings you have received to one another. So you're not just sharing food and donuts or food, but you're sharing Christ, bread of life, life group. That's why we need one another, amen? Anybody who's Christian has some part of Jesus that we need together in this body. Any small person in the body of Christ is important. Every single one of you, God's going to use you. God wants to use you. So as we gather together, we share the part of the blessings and part of Christ that we have received. And we're sharing with one another just by your presence, we're receiving the Christ in you as you sing. Spiritually, I believe spiritually, as a Christian walk into a cafe, Christian walk into anywhere, you're bringing Christ to that place. We are spiritual beings. We're not robots. We're not animals. We are spiritual beings with spirit, Holy Spirit inside of us. Whenever we walk in, there's some kind of powerful being present in that place because of your presence. Can we hear amen to that? Some of you are going, Pastor, man, how can I witness to my parents? Of course, you pray for them. Of course, you present the gospel to them. But you go in because you love Christ. There's, spiritually speaking, there's light in that room because you have walked in and Jesus Christ is light in you. This is the body of Christ. I am with you. So that as individually we become spiritual, we are blessed, He goes through us. That's why we need more. We need to recruit more people, right? Because more aspect of Christ can be pictured into the world. We need one another, but we also, together as we go out, we can show them greater beauty of Christ, greater power of Christ, greater authority of Christ as we go out together. We're like great team, right? Great team, sports team. We're like great orchestra, musician. Should I use sports team or orchestra illustration? I'll just use orchestra illustration. All of us are like part of orchestra, right? And we all play different instruments. Some of you are like flute. Some of you are like piccolo. Some of you are like tuba. Do you know tuba? This big thing. That sounds like boop, 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 sounds like that. Different instruments. And we play different instruments, we play different notes. But we have to listen to one another. We have to harmonize. Right? We have to harmonize. We listen to one another. But we all look at the same music piece, the Bible. And we all have, or we all listen to the same conductor. Who's that? Jesus. And as we go out and play this beautiful music, people are attracted to the music. What is that? Verse 19. That's evangelism. As we live out. And then what happens is that these people listening to music, they want to join the orchestra. What is that? That's disciples. You would teach them how to play. But the incredible is the oddity of the unity, the unlike instruments, as they come together and play together, it makes incredible sound of unity and beautiful music that's played with flute, drum, and triangle, tuba, French horn, xylophone, cello, violin, trumpets. That's all I know, all the instruments I'm not. How incredible it is that they come together and play this beautiful music. How did you know that French fries and ketchup can go together? How do you know that fried rice and, what is that, samba? Is it samba? Can go together. Whoop! Probably somebody accidentally dropped it and tasted, well, this is great. Do you ever run across that when two people start to date, and sometimes you go, you? But later on, it's okay. As a body of Christ. Unlike people can come together, we can actually do this and serve God. And we play together as a Church of Jesus Christ, beautiful, beautiful music, opus, tunes of salvation, redemption. And God uses people like us. I believe that's what this phrase contains. I am with you always to the very end of age. So with that foundation, with that methodology, and with that assurance, we go forth and do our part. Amen? Can I talk about demon position? Do you have demon position in this country? I'll talk about demon position once. There's several, you know, different countries. Reason why, if you go to some places where either there's no social, lack of social media or lack of gospel, there's more demon possession taking place. Because in where there's social media, Satan already works through the philosophy and ideas, and people are living according to, away from the Lord. So individual demon possession doesn't have to take place as much where there's social media already. But let's say when there's no social media, individually Satan has to work or demons have to work. So that's why I go to countries like Africa. There's a lot more demon possession. Now, I remember 20-some years ago, it was in Ethiopia. I was preaching in this place, and there was this lady who looked like demon possessed. She's coming. I'm preaching. She starts to scream, and she's walking forward. And I'm the pastor, right? I'm the preacher. And I have to... So everybody's like going crazy. The difference between the people and the pastor is people can look they're scared. The pastor cannot look scared. I was going, oh, no. But I'm like... And she's like running and walking. It seems like a long period of time. I was hoping these couple strong guys would jump at her and tell her down. And they did that. Two guys ran to her and tried to stop her. But she was so strong, she would just throw these guys off. And she was running towards me. And I'm going, uh-oh. So I'm thinking. I'm strategizing. Okay, she's running kind of fast. So I had two options, either run away, since I'm the pastor and the preacher, I can't do that. So I was thinking, if she comes fast enough, just at the right moment, I'll duck. So I only had two options. So I'm thinking, what should I do, depending on the situation, right? But sure enough, as she's coming close, she fell down. So I was really scared, but after she fell down, I'm gaining a little confidence, right? You know? So I'm going, in Jesus' name. I said, Jesus' name. Open your mouth. Now, I don't know why I said open your mouth. And I think this is why I thought about. I was in shock. I was inexperienced at the time. So I think reason why I said open your mouth. So usually, you know, in Jesus' name, you sit down or something. But she already sat down. So I had nothing else to say. So I had to open your mouth. But you know what? So she's going there. She looked at me, but she wasn't opening her mouth. So I'm going, oh no. If I didn't say anything, they would think, oh, he's powerful because she fell down. That would have been fine, but I said open my mouth and she doesn't listen. They go, oh, that wasn't him or something like that. Oh, you know, I wish I didn't say that. You know those sentences you wish you didn't say? It was one of those things. But after about, I don't know, a minute, 30 seconds or a minute or something like that, she goes, she opened her mouth. So what I realized was, demonic beings are personal beings, just like human beings. Demonic beings are personal beings, so they're rebelling against God, right? So they're rebelling, we're fighting, but authority of God overpowers them, so they have to listen, but it takes some time, just like little kids. You get the dish, you throw out garbage, they don't want to do it, but, and then they have to do it, just like a little kid. I realized demonic beings are like that, so open your mouth, she opened her mouth, and took some time, was able to cast, you know, demon out, right? The next day, no, don't worry. Next day, we're staying in a certain place, and this girl came, and she was such a beautiful girl. Ethiopians are so beautiful. You have done this, like, facial features, so beautiful. Such a beautiful girl standing, and she said, yeah, I was the one that was, because the other day, she looked like this. She was so beautiful. Wow, I can't believe this was her. And she was thanking and praising God. I said, wow. And starting that moment, I never feared demonic possessions again. Why? I realized the one who is in me greater than anywhere else, one who is in anywhere else in the world. So don't be afraid. You can turn the lights off when you sleep. Why? Because Jesus Christ is with me and Jesus Christ is with you. How do you know Jesus Christ is with you? This verse says, I am with you. I don't know if it's like that in the Indonesian Bible. You, the word you is not singular. It's plural. I am with y'all. I'm with you, anybody who's a believer in Jesus Christ. So, never be afraid. Do your part in the kingdom of God. I'm with you always. Let's pray.